Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. This is episode number 140. My name is Camden Busey in Grays Lake, Illinois, and I have with me Jim Cassidy, who's pastor of South Austin OPC down in South Austin, Texas. Welcome back, Jim. It's good to see you again.
It's great to be here, Camden.
Spent some time off. Are you in the church building now? I know that big news relatively recently. We mentioned it when it happened, but you were able, by God's grace, to purchase a facility. Is that where you are?
Yeah. So no more of the treadmill behind me where I usually record, but at my home, this is the church building. And we got into the building this time last year. And then because of the storm that swept through Texas in February, our building flooded and we were out for about 8 weeks. And, then you had COVID stuff going on and we were, so anyway, all of that now is behind us and we've renovated. In fact, we have some workers here today that are doing some patchwork for us. So yeah, you may, during my review, hear some banging and clanging in the background and apologize for that. But back in the building.
That's great. That's great. And we've got some big news. We just released our email newsletter, we released the print newsletter and we sent an email out letting people know about it. For those who haven't been apprised to that, we'll talk more about this and send out official and formal announcements in the future. But we're planning to be down in Pflugerville, Texas, which is at the neighboring OPC church, October 8th and 9th, 2021, for our annual theology conference. We weren't able to have that last year because of COVID and the restrictions in Illinois, et cetera. We weren't able to schedule Hope Church in Illinois this year because of uncertainty at the time when we needed to make that decision. And so we're going to be down in Texas and looking forward to that. We did an event at Pflugerville at Providence OPC where Glenn Cleary's one of the ministers there. Bob Canode's the other. We've had an event there a few years ago in a spring, and it went really well. So we're happy and excited to be back in Texas in October. So if you're interested in that, head on over to reformedforum.org/conference. We're going to be focusing on the covenant of works and working on some material in light of that. So we're finalizing further details, adding a couple more speakers, getting information about the VIP dinner, et cetera. So check out reformedforum.org/conference for info on that. But today we're going to be speaking about a relatively new book, just published a few months ago. It is by Christian Focus, if I'm not mistaken, and it is written by Donald MacLeod, Therefore the Truth I Speak, Scottish Theology, 1500 to 1700, looking at the history of theology in Scotland, a very important thing, especially for Presbyterians. And actually, I think Mentor and Christian Focus are related somehow. So anyway, there's the book. Jim is holding it up. And tell us about this. Very significant title, Jim.
Yeah, it's a good book, one that I have been impressed with in terms of just the presentation, starting out from the cover. Of course, you can't judge a book by its cover, but this has a nice cover and a very nice dust jacket, good binding quality stuff, nice bright white pages. So I've been impressed with the layout and it's easy on the eyes and the whole nine yards there. Now, the book is actually on a topic I know very little about, and so I can't really give it much of an evaluation in terms of the scholarship and if it's spot on or accurate or whatnot. Not something I'm interested in debating with people about, but it's well written. It seems to be well researched. And the respective chapters engage. Here's something that I took away from it, and I haven't finished reading the entire book yet. But what I'm taking away from it is that Dr. MacLeod is very interested in making connections between the historical events that he's surveying and the historical figures, and then contemporary significance. And so he's, for instance, addressing more popular issues like how do we deal with John Knox's patriarchal kind of disposition and things that he said that have been controversial. And so, you know, McLeod is addressing things like that in light of contemporary concerns about misogyny and all of that. Also, he makes interesting connections between the way in which the British Crown was operating back then in seeking to oppress religious movements that were against what they wanted, and then the Nazi regimes of the 20th century. So, you know, kind of those interesting little back and forths, making connections to today's debates. Perhaps for the more nerdy among us is the way in which he engages sort of the Torrance thesis. And for those who aren't really familiar with the Torrance thesis, I think it's, you could probably, there might be some differences among the different Torrance brothers, but T.F. Torrance is perhaps the one that is most central here, who basically argues that the reformers represented the pure reform theology of grace. And then the Puritans and those that came later on in the 17th century, the scholasticism that arises there, the high scholasticism, reformed or post-Reformation Protestant scholasticism, represents a return to legalism and basically covenant theology is at the core and the center of this mischievous and malicious movement away from the reformers' pure theology of grace to a theology of legalism. Anyway, all of that stuff, McLeod is very interested in tackling and challenging. And so he does a pretty good job of showing that he is aware of not only the sources that he's drawing from that go back to the 16th century and then the 17th century, but also contemporary theological and historical debates that are going on even today. So he shows himself to be well-read, widely read, aware of the issues, and he's constantly going back and forth between the original sources and then contemporary discussions.
Yeah, I'm looking at the table of contents, and there's so many figures that are going to be interesting to our listeners, no doubt. Several chapters on John Knox, Andrew Melville, Christian Humanism and God's Silly Vassal, the Second Book of Discipline and a Church Fit for Purpose, one on Robert Bruce. The brewery near me has a beer called Robert the Bruce, so maybe we could have some sort of an outing down to Three Floyds and read this chapter together. Alexander Henderson, plenty on Samuel Rutherford, and even on the American Revolution, Rutherford, Lex Rex, and the American Revolution. David Dixon, we've talked about, some Sermons on Lamentations with some other books that have been recently put into a new and modern edition typesetting through RHB, and Robert Layton as well. I'm curious about some of these latter chapters. You mentioned a bit of the covenant and federal theology, but there seems to be a good emphasis here. Have you been able to dig through those at all, and what might we glean and learn for contemporary circumstances given some of these latter chapters on federal theology?
Yeah, so the latter chapters haven't gotten to yet, but it's what, you know, I'm eyeing them up as, you know, and salivating some because I'm really interested to see how he addresses these issues. Federal theology among Bardians is particularly a target for them. They don't like it. They don't like the idea of a covenant of works, particularly, which is relevant to where we're going in the conference in October. But it'd be interesting to see how McLeod sort of addresses those criticisms of federal theology, and you know where he kind of comes down on. Although from the beginning, you can see where he's heading with this, which I think is a defense of 17th century Scottish, particularly here emphasizing Scottish federal theology. So I think that I'm looking forward to getting to those later chapters. Obviously, Scotland is a big player in the world of Reformed theology, because as Presbyterianism became established in the 16th century, it didn't stay just in Scotland, of course. It spread, right? And particularly here to the colonies in North America. And that chapter on the revolution should be interesting, because I think that there's going to be, he's going to nicely bridge that history for us and make those connections in order to understand our own context better here in America as Presbyterians, seeing kind of, you know, our roots back in the, back as my grandmother would say, the old country, and how that kind of immigrated over here and how we are beneficiaries of that movement. So, but anyway, pick up the book. I would encourage our readers. I think that there's a great deal of benefits to talking about Scottish theology and becoming well-informed of Scotland's history and how really for such a small country, right? The way in which it has influenced theology globally throughout the world, which MacLeod, by the way, makes a point of in the introduction of the book, and the way in which there's been, it's just a small country and yet a great influence throughout the world. I think it's worth our consideration. Books on Scottish theology, it was, books generally on theology that are qualified by an ethnicity or a particular nation tend to be few and far between these days. But I remember back back in the day when I was a seminary student at Westminster, they came up with one of those dictionaries, one of those great big dictionaries that was, you know, apparently all comprehensive on Scottish theology. It was a dictionary on Scottish history and theology.
Right.
And Westminster Seminary had it like in their bookstore, had it on sale for like 50% off or something ridiculous like that. And I'm like, I'm going to wait a little bit. I'm going to wait a little bit, see if the price comes down some, because it was really, really expensive. And then they sold out. And then the book went out of print. And now it's like, you can't get this dictionary for like under $250. I mean, I haven't checked what today's prices are out there now, but it was exuberant. And I've always wanted to get my hands on that dictionary because I do think that there is something to be said for understanding who we are today in light of where we have come from in Scottish roots and
for
Scottish
sure.
theological roots.
Well, you're just on the other end of the demand curve there, the price and demand curve. You got hosed. I just checked my app and the Mormons tell me I'm 25% Scottish. So that's my current percentage, 47% English in Northwest Europe, 25% Scottish. So I've got strong interest in this. If anyone ever wants to do some genealogical work on me and see if I can connect back to Rutherford or something, I'd be interested. You could send us an email or something like that, but who knows? But more so, even if you aren't genetically, you know, physically related to the Scots, there's certainly a great spiritual heritage, one that's even more significant than whatever our physical genes may be. And so I think it is a massive and an important field of historical theology, but again, one that maybe is not treated as much in certain circles. I think we find other communities, especially when I go hang out with our brothers in the Greenville community, they you know will emphasize and be much more well versed in Scottish theology than perhaps some of our other pockets of, you know, pockets. And so I want to like to encourage everyone, take a look at this and read more. And certainly you'll benefit. Again, this is the book, Therefore the Truth I Speak, Scottish Theology, 1500 to 1700, written by Donald MacLeod, published by Mentor, which, if I'm not mistaken, again, is an imprint of sorts through Christian Focus Publications. You can find this at a variety of different places online to buy, but if you buy it directly from Christian Focus, they also have bulk discounts available. So we'll have links to all that in the episode description. Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate you opening up and introducing us to this title. And I want to thank everybody for listening and watching. And until next time, Tolo Lege, take up and read.